Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and today I'm joined by Paul O'Rear. Paul, thanks for coming on. It may look like we're wearing the exact same shirt, but we are, in fact, not entirely different shirts, just happens to be the same color. I like to point that out. I don't want people to think that we, you know, if we're going to coordinate a uniform, it's going to be something more interesting than black shirts.
Let's hope so.
Anyway, where were we? Paul is here to show us the enhancements to the Help Viewer in Visual Studio 11. Mm-hmm. And the Help Viewer is the UI that you use to view offline help.
Right.
So the default is online help. You press F1, you go out to MSDN, tons of great content. But you can also get that great content in an offline mode, and the Help Viewer is how you do that, and that's what you're here to talk about today, right?
Absolutely, yep.
Okay, so before we dive into that, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go.
Cool. Yeah, so I've been doing help for Visual Studio probably for about the last 10 years in some form or another. And also was a help MVP even before coming to Microsoft, so I've been doing help for about 20 years now.
Excellent.
Anyway, okay, so yeah, I've got a lot of kind of passion around the space, and this is one of the first times I get to have a little bit more direct influence on help viewers. I'm pretty happy about it.
Okay, so what were the major issues in 2010 that were addressed, and then what are some things that you've done that maybe people weren't having issues with?
Yeah, so one of the big things to start with is at the end of the Visual Studio 2010 install, we gave the option, this big blue button at the end of the install dialog that said install documentation. And so people
right.
would often miss that because they'd see the big green check mark set up complete at the top of that dialog.
And they've already waited anything from, in their mind, a reasonable period of time to potentially, in their mind, an ungodly period of time.
Right.
And the last thing they necessarily want to do is click another button.
Right. So if they've just dismissed that dialog, well, then they had no local help and things got kind of confusing how to get back to install this stuff. So
right.
one of the things we've done in VS 11 is to, we've kind of opted for this no docs in the box idea, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But the thing we wanted to do is make the setup experience as fast as possible, so we removed pretty much all the content install
part.
And
it is dramatically faster.
Right. So yeah. there's no content install as the initial part of setup. But at first time run, which I'll show now, there's a little bit of an opportunity to install some content. So if I had just installed Visual Studio, I would click on Visual Studio 11, and you get presented with your option to determine your profile settings. So I'll say like C sharp.
Okay.
Now you see down here, there's this local help documentation option, and the default is minimum. And so what we'll do then is we'll just this install some content from the cloud, and it does it as a background process using Bits. And so this basically just goes off on the side. You get right away into Visual Studio. You're not having any delay, no 20-minute merge time of indexes and all that stuff.
So even if you ignore that, like you're used to ignoring documentation,
right.
even if you don't even see that, you click Start Visual Studio, you're going to get in the background.
You're going to get the .NET Framework content
right.
and the Visual Studio Core IDE development.
Assuming you're online,
right?
If you're offline, it'll just queue up and wait?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you said that's installing behind the scenes.
Right.
All right. Background thread.
Yep.
Cool.
And so there's two other options here. One is advanced, and that would take you into the Help Viewer itself where you can discover other books, and I'll show that shortly. And there's also none. So if you're really opting for an online-only help mm-hmm. experience, then, well, you might select none.
All right. So now none is a choice, not the accidental default.
Right.
That's great.
Now, I'm going to choose none specifically here because I've already installed all this content. I don't want to go and do this
okay.
in a second. So if I do that, then it's going to, of course, do the regular profile settings adaptation here. Yes. Okay, so here Visual Studio is loaded. And in the background, if we had selected minimum, you'd see mm-hmm. a little tray icon app here showing that we're just saying it's downloading content. But as soon as that's done, the tray app's gone. There's no, doesn't stay in memory or anything
okay.
like that. So if I go in here and choose Help now, for example, there's this Help Explorer menu. I'm going to show this a little bit later. This is actually a power tool that we're going to ship at RC. But the first two menu items, three menu items, are the things you want to care about the most. So you have the regular view help, which launches the help viewer.
Mm-hmm.
You have add and remove local help content, which gets, again, into the help viewer, but more in this how you discover content to download. And then you have this set help preference. And by default, it is set to online. So if I were to choose view help now, it's just going to go online and go to, right now it's pointing out our internal server, but this would go to MSDN online,
right.
like the experience you're used to for, mm-hmm. for the MSDN library. But if I go to set it to offline to local help, then I could go here and I'll just click View Help and it's going to launch the Help Viewer. And you see, wow, it popped up really fast. It's not taking like 10 minutes to load. This thing pops up really fast. Really, we did a lot of work in performances.
So that's nice. The ability to go from online to offline help inside the product is a big enhancement because, you know, the typical scenario, you're doing online help and then you get on an airplane and you press F1 and, you know, I can't. So you have to exit Visual Studio, right? Change the preference, change it, and then
not anymore,
go,
right?
Right, and then go back in. Now you can just bounce back and forth.
Right.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you remember in Visual Studio 2010, too, it wasn't obvious how you had to change that setting, so you had to launch this help management, help options setting dialog, and then you had to fish around in there to find this online.
You're on an airplane without internet access, you can't Bing it to find out how to do that, so you kind of stuck in
this. Well, maybe now
loop.
You can, but it's not.
Right.
So here I've installed a whole bunch of content, but so if we go to this Manage Content Experience, one of the things we had a lot of complaints about in 2010, again, was we had this small dialog called the Help Library Manager, and some of our customers were saying, hey, this is just a postage stamp size thing, and there's all these books that we can download to install, but it's, you know, how come we can't take more advantage of the screen real estate? Mm-hmm. So we, you know, we heard that feedback, and we've taken the choice now to incorporate all that functionality into the viewer itself. And so you see now we've got all these different books. When I was talking earlier about the minimum books, you see at the top here this .NET Framework 4.5, Help Viewer 2.0 documentation, and VS 11. Those three books are actually the ones that are considered the minimum set of content. Okay. And those will be installed automatically if you choose minimum. But then the rest of these are also what we consider like recommended documentation for the particular SKU, and that does vary by SKU. Mm-hmm. So if we have a Web Express, you'll see a different set of books made available there. So and the idea there, of course, is if you're developing using Web Express, well, you really just want the Web Express content, stuff that's more, you know, particular to the kind of work you're doing.
Right.
And so we try to target that to you.
So if you have Visual Studio Express for Windows 8, Metro Style App Development would be in the minimum?
Right.
Presumably?
It's not in the minimum, actually, but it is in the recommended.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Let's see. So there's other things here. So in addition, we have this installation source. So if you're wanting to install third-party content, you can click disk here. You could point to the help file manifest file that third parties would ship. But what's also interesting here is I can also point, for example, here I've used this services MTPS Microsoft.com. This is pointing actually at the Dev10 endpoint for Visual Studio 2010. Okay. And here you see a whole bunch of other content that we haven't surfaced in Dev 11 yet.
Okay.
So some of this might be of interest to you if you're still doing some development, for example, on XNA Game Studio. You can still get that SDK content and install from here. But the real cool part about this is, you know, in 2010 we wanted to kind of start this new approach of downloading content from the cloud. But all our third-party partners we're saying, hey, we want to take, you know, advantage of this too, but we didn't quite have that in our infrastructure yet. Mm-hmm. So now a third party could also, you know, point their users to use a third party URL. So like Intel or Micro Focus could populate it to an endpoint that's on their website. And as long as they surface the data in the way it's compliant that we use, then they could actually download content from the third party source and also do updates from there as well.
So then you could, presumably, a corporation could do that, or a particular project team.
Yeah. An individual, an MVP, a client, consultant. Right.
So you could create documentation that is as simple as the standards and naming conventions we use to custom content, and then potentially third-party training companies could get on this as well if they wanted to. Cool.
Or maybe have your own help file of cheats that you like to use, right? You can incorporate your own content. Another cool thing you can see here, too, is what's down on the bottom here. You see updates are available right here. This is, if I were to click this, it would go and download updates. But every time you launch the Help Viewer, it's going to go online and it's going to check if there's updates available for content you've already installed. And if there is, it's basically a one-click option to go ahead and start downloading that
and
content.
And that downloads the entire book, or do you have the
only
ability
Delta,
yet to do deltas?
Yeah, it's deltas.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. In addition, you see this local store path area here. So it was also very convoluted in Dev 10 how to move your library. Basically, you'd have to like nuke it something, you know, manually. But here you can choose this move. So like if your C drive is getting full or whatever, you can just choose this and it'll give you an option where to move your content to a, you know, maybe an offline disk, or, you know, like a USB drive or something. Or,
can you move it to a network share and then you only need
UNC path,
then,
yeah.
You only need to install the documentation once and then everybody gets to use it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so it could be configured for enterprise purposes as well. Mm-hmm. And we have a bunch of other stuff which I haven't, you know, worked out the details for how to present it here, but there's a bunch of registry switches and things for overriding the default behaviors.
Okay.
So you can deploy across multiple machines in the network, it'll have them pointing to a single file share and all that kind of stuff.
Cool.
Another feature here is, so it's, you know, once you start getting a bunch of content, you see, you know, here it's a fairly restricted number of books, but you saw when I had the other site open, it was a very long list of books. And as you're trying to find content that you're looking for, it's helpful if you have a way to search for it. So we've added a search option here, this filter documentation box, where I can just, for example, type in Metro, and there it just goes and finds the Metro app book. And it's basically scopes down just to either the title of the book, or if I were to click on this book, there's also all this description down the bottom here. So it'll also search on the description of the book
so content
as well.
So it's searching each of the topics in the book. It's just searching
just the metadata
title.
About the book. Yep. See, that's a high level aspect. I was mentioning there's also some of our consumers, some feedback we're starting to get from our customers already is, hey, I'm over in China or Japan, and the download's taking 4 hours just because of their CDN backbone or all this kind of stuff. And so we already have plans for a fulfillment CD or DVD that we can make available, or you download an ISO where we could ship you a disk and you can install content locally. But for Dev 11, there is this plan for no docs in the box. That's not how we're shipping content.
Okay.
Another thing we're hearing too is, hey, I only want to do managed content maybe once in a blue moon, right? And so why take up this real estate? So we're looking at ways of maybe disabling the managed content tab and have another toolbar option. But in the meantime, we have this great docking feature that we've added in Dev 11. So here I can choose to, for example, dock on the right-hand side. And then maybe I will take advantage of the real estate there, but now I can hide it. Bang. Okay, so now it's gone. It's basically not in your face anymore. When I want it, I can just click on it. Let me just do that one more time.
So the issue is when I'm looking at a number of help topics, that tab is taking up real estate?
Yeah.
It's like having too many open documents in Visual Studio?
Right.
Okay.
And we still also have like a document well that Visual Studio has, so as you get lots of tabs, things are going to go into that well. But so now, you know, if I'm here, I can just dismiss this, of course, and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it back. Done.
Okay.
So in Help Viewer 2.0 now, VS 11, we've done a whole bunch of new things trying to think about how can we improve filtering experiences. In Visual Studio 2002 through 2008, we had a different Help Viewer, but it had filtering options where we had these pre-canned or pre-designed filters that would scope down the content, for example, to Visual C++ or Visual C#. And it had some positive aspects to it, but also had some limitations, because sometimes it's dependent on the attribution of the content. Mm-hmm. And so you might have the developer language on content that says C#, but that could go all across SQL, could go across Windows CE content, can go across anywhere, and still pull in a bunch of content that maybe the consumer really doesn't want. So we thought about doing some more dynamic options. And one thing here we did is this filter contents search. So what this kind of does is, in the table of contents, maybe you know a term you're looking for. So like one of my favorite methods is binary reader. And I might, you know, here I want to see what topics in the table of contents contain this. So if I hit that, it does the search and finds only the topics that have binary reader in the title of the term. So now we see the TOC is completely scoped down just to those methods for that class.
And it's also showing it to you only in the 4.5 framework.
In this case, that's because that's the only content I have installed.
Right. Yep. Whereas if you go to MSDN and you type binary reader,
ETA it will, everything.
Which is sometimes what you want, right? It'll show you things in the forums, it'll show you articles, it'll show you binary reader, and it's not always clear which version of the framework you're looking at.
Right.
If it's a class that doesn't change over time, that's not a big deal. But, you know, something like HTTP client, which in 4.0 had get and get async, and in the developer preview for Visual Studio 11 had get and get async, but now in beta, in 4.5, the synchronous get is gone and there's only get async. So if I want to look up HTTP client, I really want to only see it in 4.5 so I can get a list of the methods and see what's going on. So that's really helpful.
In Dev 11, of course, we see this framework 4.5 beta. Mm-hmm. If I had the 3.5 content on here, you'd see two nodes here, basically. You'd see this collapsed here, and then you'd see a .NET framework 3.0 underneath, and its binary reader
underneath. And that's fine.
So at least you're getting it.
You know that, I'll point that this one right there is the one you're looking for, and you go straight to it.
Right.
That's cool.
So one of the other things we've done in the system is to make a bunch of usability kind of features more across the board. So like we have, you know, add to favorites everywhere. So of course you can use like the favorites button up here, or I could just do this control D on this topic, and here it's taken me and put this topic into the favorites dialog. And you can also do like a right click on the option here and do add to favorites there, or I can do add to favorites over here in the topic itself. So it's all over the place.
Right.
And you could do that from the index and from search results everywhere.
And you can organize your favorites like you can in IE?
Yeah, so let's look at that for a moment. So in the favorites tab, it's broken up into two things, history and favorites. I'll talk about history in a moment. But the favorites, you can create your own folders here, so it's nice to be able to create like maybe your own personal TOC structure or, you know,
the project I'm working on or things that I constantly forget or...
Yep, and you can drag and drop things around, so like I can pull this out from here. So now it's, you know, a top level, same level structure.
Just a simple right click to add the new folder?
Yep.
Cool.
So I just do that.
There it
is. Right click, control N.
Awesome.
Yep. And then history. History, of course, is, you know, common like to browser history in general. But what we try to do is we've added the same kind of thing where you can kind of see the topics you've visited different days of the week and how far back you're looking at. But we do kind of fall off after 2 weeks. You know, we try to keep it realistic.
Right.
But you can move, you know, topics from here also to your favorites list. So again, it's another handy way to get to stuff.
Excellent.
Or something else that's kind of new here. I guess we ship this in the SP1 viewer as well, but we can also add topics and open topics in a new tab. So that's available across the interface as well. So now you see I've got another tab open and I can do things like make these side by side. I want to.
Yep. So multi-monitor support.
Yep.
And you could create various tab wells.
Yep.
On a separate monitor.
Yep.
Just like with code files. Excellent.
Yeah. So I can drag this out. I can drag the whole thing out. So it's a floating menu. Mm-hmm. A floating option. Right. Back in. Similar type of thing I was talking about with the contents. We do something in the index now too. So if I was just like looking for XML, for example, it's going to scroll to that area in the index. Great. And if I click on it and there's multiple methods or topics that match, you see the different options available and I can choose which one I'm really interested in. So maybe it's this iFeed item. But one of the things we wanted to improve on, again, was how do we scope the index or make the index still a little bit more navigable. So I'm going to use like my binary reader option again here. And again, it's going to scope to that area. It's going to move to that area in the index. But I have this new feature on the left here, this contains button. If I click that, it's going to do a search on all the keywords in the index that have that binary reader string anywhere in the string, not just beginning in the string. And you see all the other keywords are gone now. So there's just a small set of sub keywords. And here, for example, I've got this IXML binary reader method here. Mm-hmm. So this is maybe some other way of finding content that you didn't even know existed, but is useful to access.
Can you do all of these things online, or is this only?
No, this is all offline right now.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. So there's another thing I'm really jazzed about. So the search features, we've done some advanced search operators that I think, like this one I'm about to show you called Code Search, we don't have online, and people are starting to get really excited as I've been doing demos of this. They're like, wow, now I want to use offline help.
Yeah.
So I want to start actually with a title keyword. So I can do this title, This is similar to what I did with the TOC or the contents tab, but I could do title binary reader. And in this case, it just returns the results. You see how fast that was. It returns just the results of topics that have binary reader again in the title.
Right.
And so that's a good title search. But say I want to find now only those topics that have binary reader as in a code example. So I'll do code binary reader, and this is a generic search in this case. It's finding it if it has a code example in any code in any developer language. But say I want to do it only in C sharp, so now I can add another thing in here. I could do C sharp colon, and this will find only those topics that have a C sharp example with binary reader in it. But now maybe I want to get even more refined, so I can do again code colon C sharp colon and say the read byte method. Now I've only got one topic that has
both of those, right?
Yeah, right. So I click that and I can do a search in here. I can do a little control F, read byte. And of course it's in the title, but as I go down further, you see there's the code sample and there's the read byte method.
Very nice.
Now, you say, that's cool. Now, what about, say I want to find examples in other content that, and this one's sort of self-evident. This is the binary reader read byte method topic, right? Now, if I take out this title part, then I can search across all content in the system. You say, hey, wow, look at that. I've got a whole bunch of other topics, and some you wouldn't even expect, like binary read base stream. So here we've got one where you get this method, course, here in this binary base stream example.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'll see actually some other content that I didn't expect. Like this serialized read method from SQL Server, or this activity preview designer. So this is finding content that I would not even have thought twice to look for. If I go there and again do this search for read byte over here. So a little bit of refinement we could still do here to make it a little bit more direct. But you see that we've got these great ways of finding code samples, again, in places that you might not have looked for them.
That's cool. Very cool.
Let's see. I think that's most of it. I wanted to talk a little bit more also just about some third-party partner support. So I mentioned that for content download, you can do it for any third party. But in addition, we have ways of adding partner fallback scenarios. So one of the things that we wanted to enable in Visual Studio 11 was the ability to do like an online F1 query that could go to a third-party site.
Okay.
So we've enabled that through some registry keys that when a third-party component is installed, for example, they can install local content, and they can also add some registry data that says, hey, these are the namespaces that are my namespaces, and when the user has the online setting, either send them to my online site or send them to my local to the local help content. So even if the user is set online as a default, if the third party doesn't even have an online presence, they can redirect that query to go offline.
So that applies to third party tools, typically.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And so, for example, I think Intel is wanting to implement something like this. I'm not committing them, but they've talked about that. And Help Studio from Innovasis, a help authoring tool vendor, they're looking at doing some work to help facilitate that for their customers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Anything else?
That's about it.
All right. Well, that's awesome stuff. Thanks for coming on. So I hope you enjoyed that look at the enhancements to offline help in Visual Studio 11, and we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.